Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
The scripture verses for today come from Acts in the chapter 20. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. The upstairs room where we met was lighted with many flickering lamps. As Paul spoke on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Finally, he fell sound asleep and dropped three stories to his death below. Paul went down, bent over him, and took him into his arms. "Don't worry," he said, "he's alive." And then they all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, and ate together. Paul continued talking to them until dawn, and then he left. Meanwhile, the young man was taken home alive and well, and everyone was greatly relieved.
Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Man, and your music is fantastic. Let's express our appreciation again. You guys are off the hook. It's very good, and looks like it was a fun week at VBS, and they took me out to the garden. You know, I go to a different church every week, okay? And today I was determined. I said, you know, I'm gonna wear a jacket, and I'm gonna put on really nice shoes. And so I polished my shoes and made them look shiny. And then they walked me out in the garden and got all covered with grass and weeds. That's so much for wanting to really look good. But it was fun seeing the garden. And I hope you all, if you don't volunteer there, you ought to. That goes to a worthy cause and just growing stuff. I like seeing stuff grow. So. This is my first time being at St. John's to preach. I've been here a couple other times, but this is my first time to preach and enjoyed the first service. And you guys look nice and relaxed, and I'll get started in a minute, and I'll get finished hopefully before too long, because I know that you're just like me. This time of day, you're either getting hungry or you're getting sleepy. Don't raise your hands and confess, but have you ever gotten sleepy in church? Have you ever actually fallen asleep in church? I have. Then there's three things that you hope didn't happen when you fall asleep in church, right? The first thing is, did anybody see me? Can I just tell you, somebody always sees you. The second thing is, I want to know, did I snore or snort or make some kind of strange noise while I fell asleep? And so you always, did I snore? And then the third thing, which probably isn't church proper, but I want to know, did I drool on myself? Well, there's a story in the Bible tucked over in Acts, the 20th chapter, and it's about a young man by the name of Eutychus. And Eutychus just fell asleep in church, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but he fell asleep in church, and then he fell out of the window he was sitting in, and he died. He died. Man, that's dangerous. You know, I think that this story is more than just the story about a young guy who went to church and fell asleep and fell out of the window. And so what I want to do is I want to walk you through this story and show you a few nuggets that I've picked up from this story, because I think it has a lot to say to the condition of most of our United Methodist churches today. I think it would apply beyond Methodism, but because I'm not in one of those groups, and I don't want anybody saying I threw stones at the Presbyterians or the Catholics or the Baptists, I can talk about us because I love us, right? And so when I talk about us, it's a lover's quarrel. I'm not mad at the church. I love the church, and I want to see the church do gooder and gooder. Amen? Don't you want to see the church do gooder, get better and stronger and be more vital and be more relevant and be alive in your community? I don't want my church to be asleep. I want my church to be alive. How about you? Is that you? Okay, now here's two easy ground rules. I'm going to give you the best that I can, and I'm going to do it as quickly as I can, but I need your help. So if something sounds really good, just shout out amen, okay? Because that's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog when I'm preaching. And if you can't say amen, if it really disturbs you, just say ouch. It has the same effect, okay? Just say ouch. Now, because I know we're United Methodists and we don't say amen, we are not an amen crowd, right? So if you don't say amen this morning, it adds 10 minutes to the message. She's like, let's get started. Let's get this puppy going. Okay. Let me tell you a quick story, and then I'm going to pray. My best friend in the world is a fellow by the name of Willie Rayford. Willie Rayford lives in Anderson, Indiana. He's my best friend, my fishing buddy. And Willie, every time we'd go someplace, Willie'd fall asleep. If he didn't fall asleep in the car when we got there, we would fish on the bank before we had a boat. He'd fall asleep. He'd get still for 3 minutes, and boom, he'd just be gone. So one day he was working at his job for General Motors. I call it Generous Motors. But he was working for General Motors in Anderson, and he fell asleep in the boss's meeting. How many of you know the boss don't like that? And the boss told him, said, you fall asleep one more time in my meetings, and you're getting fired. And Willie said, man, I can't help it. He said, well, you better get the doctor to tell you you can't help it. So Willie went to the doctor. Long story short, they found out that he had a disease called sleep apnea. And so they prescribed this thing for him, and they got him. They didn't cure him, but they fixed it so that he could get more sleep, and in the daytime, he's not just falling asleep all the time. But it just scared me, because Willie would fall asleep on the rocks, and snakes would be crawling all over him, and he just couldn't help it. You know, I think the same thing has happened to we United Methodists. Remember, it's a lover's quarrel. I love us. But I think in some ways we've fallen asleep. And we have a spiritual sleeping disorder. And right here in the Word of God, it tells us the name of that spiritual sleeping disorder. Let's call it what it is. It's Eutychusitis. It's the spirit of Eutychus. It's Eutychusitis. And so I want to talk about four characteristics of this spiritual sleeping disorder, and then I want to give you the cure for it, okay? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at and see it right here in the divine Word of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that over the next few minutes you would fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff, then gently nudge me when I've said enough. Amen. So we start out in this passage of Scripture, and it says that the Apostle Paul went to this. I'm going to move because these lights are, I don't know if they bother you, but they're reflecting off my glasses. I can't see y'all. Besides that, I didn't want y'all to move, so I'll just move. It's easier to move one than to move everybody, right? So the Apostle Paul went to this little house church to preach. I mean, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall? The Apostle Paul? Are you kidding me? The Apostle Paul showed up at the little house church? This is the guy that they used to take his sweaty handkerchiefs that he wiped his face with and his hands, and while he was a tent maker, they'd take his greasy aprons, and they would lay them on sick people, and the sick people would get well. This is the guy that was the guest preacher at the house church. And it said that Paul got there, and he knew that he didn't have a lot of time, that he was leaving the next day. And so when Paul started, probably about 7 o'clock in the evening, if they were good Methodists, right? They started the service, and then Paul got up to preach, and he kept going. I mean, he preached on and on and on, and the Bible says on and on. He kept preaching. Why in the world did that man talk so long? Can I just tell you that's the wrong question? That's the wrong question. The question is never, why did the preacher preach so long? The question is, why can't we see ourselves as the object of that which the proclaimer is proclaiming? Did you get that? The problem isn't the longevity of the preaching. The problem is sometimes we have a hard time seeing ourselves or identifying with what's being preached. And maybe there's a word in there for us. And so Paul kept talking on and on and on and on and on and on. Why did he talk so long? Well, he talked so long because he said, I'm only going to be here a short time, and I got to give them all that I can while I can. And so he wanted to give them as much as he could. I mean, this is a guy that that planted 13 churches, wrote most of the New Testament? Are you kidding me? And what was Eutychus doing? Eutychus had a bad case of the nods. Well, Paul preached. Here's the first sign of that spirit of Eutychus, that spiritual sleeping disorder that I believe we have today. It says that we've got lots of time. Paul said, I don't have time. He said, I gotta work as hard as I can, for as long as I can, for as fast as I can while I'm here. I gotta really go at it. We think that we have so much time. And so we don't have to do some of the things that Christ has called us to do because we believe that we have tomorrow. So some of the problems that are isms in our world, isms and schisms, we need to address them as a church. We kind of just put it on the back burner because after all, we can get to that tomorrow. And so some of the ills of our society, and I don't blame us for the ills, but I do know that we have a lot of the answers for the ills of our society. Can I just give you one example and then I won't keep you forever? You know, this whole thing of the resurgence of racism? Listen, the church ought to be the most loving and welcoming place for anybody. Oh yeah, I know you gotta say amen on that one because I read the book before I came. And that's our job. Our job is to love people. All people, our job is to love people, pass their junk, pass their issues, pass their junk, and pass our own junk. Amen? We're supposed to love each other. And everybody ought to feel welcomed and included in the house of God. Well, we ought to model that for the world. But we're so busy with our other stuff, and we think that we can do that tomorrow, so we don't need to rush and do it today. And so we put it off. You know what the Bible says about time? It says today is the day. Today is the day. If you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. He says today is the day. Now is the time of salvation. You might not have tomorrow, but you do have today. Work while it's daylight, for nighttime is coming when nobody's going to be able to work. Well, the spirit of Eutychus says we've got lots of time. We've got lots of time. Well, that second characteristic, likened unto the first, says this. The second one says, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. Here's how I get that. You know, in the next verse after that, I think it's verse 8 or 9, it says, there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. What does that mean? If there were lamps in the room, come on, somebody just shout out. What does it mean? It was lit. It was dark outside, but there was light inside. Okay. Go real elementary on me. Go real elementary. You could see. If the light's on, you can see. Okay, so riddle me this now. If you could see, you could also be seen, right? You could see, you could be seen. So everybody saw that boy in the middle of the window, and he got a bad case of the nods. Checking himself out. And then all of a sudden, boom, he is stone sleep. Well, tell me this, why didn't somebody do something? Why didn't somebody do something? You see, the second characteristic of this spiritual sleeping disorder in the church is, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. So nobody said anything, nobody did anything, they just all watched Eutychus fall out the window. Well, can I tell you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that ought not be. Now, I'm not talking about being in each other's business, my daughter. I told you this before. You've heard me say this. My daughter one day, she said something to me, and I had no clue. I really had no clue what she was saying to me. She was a teenager then. She said to me, I was on her case about something, as parents want to do sometimes. She said, Daddy, she said, you're all up in my Kool-Aid, and you don't know the flavor. What does that mean? I think it meant mind your own business. You're bugging me. Mind your own business. But I had to remind her that it is my business because she's my daughter. Yeah. And so what she's into, I have to be concerned about, because if it's detrimental, I need to help before we get too far down that road. And so it is our business. And in the church, it is our business. We don't get in each other's business. But if we see something that needs to be corrected or rebuked or encouraged or prayed over, The household of God is where we ought to do that. But in the church, we're letting all kinds of stuff happen, and Christians are headed into spiritual shipwreck because we won't say something, because we think it's none of our business. Well, let me tell you this. If you can't say something, the very least you could do, the very least you could do is get up and close the window. This boy's sitting in the window, an open window, and he's falling asleep, but nobody bothered to go and say, Eutychus, I'm going to sit next to you and kind of buffer you and keep you from falling, or you can lay your head on my shoulder, son, and sleep for a while. Nobody said anything, and all of a sudden, Eutychus goes, oh! You know the question that we ask? Well, what was he doing in the window in the first place? I'm sure it was like most Methodist gatherings, there was places on the front row. There's places in the front row. He could have sit right down front. But he was in the window. Why was this boy in the window? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'd like to think he was in the window because I had to go to church. I never had a choice. My dad said, as long as you live under my roof on Sunday, you're going to church. As long as your feet are parked under my dinner table, you do what I say. And when you make your own money, when you're a grown man, he used to say, when you're a grown man and make your own money, then you make your own decisions. Until then, you do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so maybe Eutychus had one of them kind of parents, and he went to church because he had to go to church. But see, he was sitting in the window. I like to think he was sitting on the premises, but he wasn't standing on the promises. That's that third characteristic of this spiritual sleeping disorder, that it's okay to be in church, just don't buy into what they're saying. Just go along and go through the motions. And a whole lot of us, we do that, don't we? Come on, some of you guys, don't leave me hanging now. Don't raise your hand, but don't leave me hanging. Because some of y'all are here because you know it's easier to be here right now than it is to fight with that woman afterwards. Come on, somebody say ouch or something. And so Eutychus is sitting in the window, and he gets a bad case of the nods, and the sleep monkey jumped on him, and it was too heavy for him, and that boy went toppling out the window. We don't know what got Paul's attention. Was it somebody in the back screaming, oh my goodness? Or was it Eutychus halfway down going, help? But we do know that Eutychus fell and he died. He died. Listen, that's that fourth characteristic of this spiritual sleeping disorder, just in case you're keeping score, that says that death is preferable to life. Death is preferable to life. Can I just tell you, in the church, that old dog won't hunt? Because we are not a people of death. I've heard people talk about the Methodist church, say, well, if we're going to die, we're going to die. If we're going to split and divide, we're going to split and divide. Can't do anything about it. Listen, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that's the job of the church, to usher in life, to talk about life, to give that message to people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, who may be alienated from God because of their own choosing, not because of God. And it's the church's job to tell people there is life, there is hope, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. That's our job. Well, that boy fell out of the window, went boom on the ground. And some people would have said, well, you lose some you wipe out, let's just have a funeral and be done with it. But not Paul. Paul heard the report just like everybody else. They yelled from the ground back up to the third floor, he's dead. Paul said, wow, we better do something about that. We better do something about that. He quit preaching. He'd already preached for 4.5 hours. He quit preaching. And he went downstairs, and I can just see Paul all the way going downstairs. He's talking to God. He's saying, I don't know what you're up to, but you're doing it again. I remember when you knocked me off of my high horse and got my attention. Don't know what you're getting ready to do with Eutychus, but thank you that you're in the building. Thank you that you're still working. Thank you that your arms are not short. Thank you that your cupboards are not bare. Thank you that you have all the resources to restore this boy. And Paul went downstairs, and the Bible says he threw his arms around him. He put his arms around Eutychus. Why did he put his arms around him? I've wondered that. I see a threefold progression here. What happens is he, first of all, empathized with that boy. Why did he put his arms around it? He wanted Eutychus to know that he cared. That he cared. You know that people that rub elbows with you and with me, the first thing they want to know about the church is, do they care? Do they care? People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so Paul empathized with that boy. And then he embraced that boy. And he literally picked him up, put his arms around him. He embraced him. Why did he embrace him? Well, I think he embraced him because he needed Eutychus to know what life felt like. Eutychus was dead. And he needed a warm body. He needed something that was alive. He needed to know that this is what life feels like. Come on, you and me, we touch base with people all the time that are walking around breathing, but spiritually they're dead. And so they need to look at us as Christians to see what real life looks like. So when you're going through your stuff and you're going through your challenges, let your light shine for Jesus, because somebody's watching you and they need to know, what does it look like as a couple when you're struggling with your marriage and with your relationship? What does it look like as a family when your teenagers are messing up? What does it look like when you get the diagnosis from the doctor that it's cancer and inoperable? They need to know what life looks like and feels like. And we can tell them, being a Christian doesn't exempt you from the junk of life, but it gives us hope. Amen. We have the precious promises of God that no matter what we go through, he'll be with us. I say it this way based on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God never promised to keep you out of the furnace of affliction, but hallelujah, he'll walk with you through the flames. Oh, come on. Your amen-er must be broke. Because if there was ever an amen-er, that was an amen-er right there. God never promised to keep you out of the furnace of affliction, but he'll get with you in the flames. Amen. And so Paul put his arms around that boy so he could feel what life felt like. And then he does a third thing. He prays for the Spirit of God to come and replace the dead spirit of Eutychus. And God showed up. And God breathed into Eutychus again the breath of life. That same breath that was present when the world was created. That same breath that came and blew in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The wind of God came into that lifeless body. And Paul gave the report, "Don't worry," he said, "he's alive. He's alive." And Paul said, "Oh, by the way, I wasn't quite finished with my message. I was only on the second point." He said, "Let's go on back upstairs." He said, let's take a little bit of a break. Get some food. We'll have communion." And they broke bread together and they ate together. And Paul then went on with his message and preached till daylight. Now, I'm not a betting man. I don't bet. But if I were, I would bet the farm that Eutychus stayed awake. What do you think? Yeah, he stayed awake. He was wide awake. Who is this guy that's preaching? What is this that happened to me? And he stayed awake. Well, I told you about my friend Willie. He went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him this little device. Next time I saw Willie, we were on a fishing trip, and we're getting ready for bed, and Willie pulls out this little contraption and hooks it over his head. It looked like he had a vacuum cleaner hooked to his face, and he turned it on. I said, "Willie, what in the world is that?" He said, "Beardy," he said, "I've got sleep apnea." He says, "And there's a gentle breeze, a gentle air that keeps all my passages open, and then I can fall asleep and I can get the rest that I need." And I said, "Hot dog, that's it. Hot dog, that's it. That's what we need in the church. We need the gentle wind of the Spirit of God blowing softly upon the embers of our hearts to keep us in flames for Jesus. We need the gentle wind of God. When I was a little boy, we lived in rural Arkansas, Blytheville, Arkansas, for those of you who want some geography. And my folks were sharecroppers. We didn't own the land, we worked the land. And everybody had to work. I mean, we were poor. We were so poor, we were so poor we couldn't even pay attention. Okay, bad, bad, bad. We were so poor. The roaches at our house had to go next door to eat. I could go on, but I'll quit. So anyways, everybody had to work, and me and my brother, we were the water boys. We were like 6 or 7 years old, just little boys. And our job was to take this big galvanized bucket, to take it to the pump, pump it full of water, and then we had a big galvanized dipper, long-handled dipper, and we walk up and down the rows of cotton, whether they were picking or chopping, and our job was to water the field hands. I'll never forget it. We couldn't even read, but somebody told us that the tombstone, which was beside the pump in the cemetery where we had to get water, the tombstone next to the pump had these words written on it: "Not dead, just sleeping." Can you imagine two little boys? Nobody explained to us that that was the hope of the resurrection. They just said on that tombstone, it says, "Not dead, just sleeping." So we figured out that whatever wasn't dead but was just sleeping just might wake up. And so one of us would keep our eyes on the tombstone while the other one filled up the bucket, and together we would run away from the pump and that tombstone. Do you suppose that this spiritual sleeping disorder that's affected and infected the body of Christ and the people called Methodists, do you suppose that we're not dead yet, but maybe we're just sleeping? And we just might wake up any moment? That's my hope and that's my prayer. And so I pray, Lord, send the gentle wind of your Holy Spirit blow across the embers of our hearts and fan us into flames for Jesus once more. Send the wind, send the breath, send the ruah of God. Because we need it. We need it. No, not we, not we, not we. I need it. I love the words of that old Negro spiritual. It's me. It's me, it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one standing in the need. It's not the preacher, it's not the deacon. It's me, oh Lord. I'm the one that's fallen asleep at the wheel. I'm the one in the window and in danger. And Lord, I need you to revive me. I need you to shake me out of my slumber and wake me up. There's an old song. I guarantee you most of you in this place have not sung this song. It is old song, but I love the words to it. It says, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until I'm wholly thine, until all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine." Well, let me close with this. It says at the end of that passage of scripture, it says they took Eutychus home and they were greatly comforted. You know what that means? That means that when you leave church, that's where he left. When you leave church, you ought to be in better shape than when you came. Yeah, the stuff that you brought in, leave it here. Don't take it back home with you. The worries, the frets, the concerns, whatever it is, you can leave it here at church because you've placed it not in your hands, but it's in God's hands. The Bible says this: cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So you don't have to take it home. You can leave it here. And you can leave freed up. You can leave more fully alive than when you came. My prayer for the Methodist Church: Lord, send the gentle wind of your Holy Spirit. Blow up on the embers of our hearts and fan us into flames once more. Breathe on me, breath of God, until I'm wholly thine, until all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Let's pray. Lord, may it be so. May it be so in our life and in the life of the church. In the name of Jesus, amen.